Today, we've chosen to celebrate a votive Mass in honor of the Blessed Mother under the title of Our Lady of Ransom and to use readings associated with that votive Mass, different from the ones that would fall into the 16th week of Ordinary Time on the occasion of this encampment for fathers and sons, because it affords us an opportunity to reflect upon the role of Our Lady in our spiritual life and how Our Lady can strengthen us and convict us of our grace to be fathers and to be upright and honorable men and young men. As I said, the devotion to Our Lady of Ransom is associated with a religious order that was founded in the 13th century by St. Peter of Nolasco, and that was dedicated to the ransoming of captives, of slaves, basically, from their predicament. But corporal work of mercy was based upon an understanding of what our Lord had done for us. Our Lord came to ransom us from slavery to sin and slavery to the devil. And he offered his life. He offered everything that he had in order to do that. There were saints in the past, I believe Saint Vincent de Paul, that actually substituted themselves for slaves in order to rescue them from slavery, and it was a corporal work of mercy, but it was also, you know, this acknowledgement of gratitude to our Lord and a desire to imitate Him. And in a particular way, of course, that men, fathers, have an opportunity to imitate Christ, to look to Him as our ideal, and to follow Him down the path which He leads. And ultimately, He leads us to stand beside His cross with His mother in the place of the beloved disciple. Our Lady was our Lord's mother and the one that was most dear to Him because she was His mother and because she was His perfect disciple, the one who loved Him more than anyone else. But our Lord also loved the apostles, and in a particular way, He loved St. John. St. John was, in his own gospel, is known as the beloved disciple because our Lord, in a particular way, took St. John to Himself and bestowed upon him many special graces. But in reality, all of us are the beloved disciple. All of us are called into intimate friendship with our Lord and personal friendship with Him. And we stand in the place of St. John. In fact, the fathers of the church who reflect upon this 19th chapter of St. John, where our Lord bequeaths St. John to his mother, and most especially bequeaths Our Lady to each one, to St. John, the fathers of the church tell us that we stand in the place of St. John, or St. John stands in our place and represents each and every one of us. And we are entrusted to Our Lady's care, it's true, because the first person He speaks to in this sequence is His mother. He says, "Woman, behold your son." So it's not just that Jesus needed someone to take care of Our Lady. In fact, He didn't. He had relatives that were standing right there near the cross that could have taken care of Our Lady. St. John was not one of His relatives. But so it wasn't simply a matter of making sure that Our Lady was taken care of after He died. Of course, He was coming back anyway, but it was something more important, something more enduring, and something that was for each and every one of us. And so in the first place, we're entrusted to our Blessed Mother. And then secondarily, we are called to bring her into our home and to honor her and protect her in a real way. And that was what St. John was called to do. And it's what we're called to do as well. We're called to stand there at the foot of the cross with our Lord and witness what he's doing for us and each one of us, and come to honor his mother. You know, the disciples should have been there. The apostles should have been there at the foot of the cross. Those who were closest to Jesus should have been there. But there are only a couple of them, of our Lord's closest disciples, that were there. There was Our Lady and St. John and Mary Magdalene and Mary of Clopas and a few others. But where was Peter? Where were the rest of the apostles? They weren't there because they're frightened. But those who remained in the company of Our Lady, they were there at the foot of the cross. They were there to witness what our Lord did for them and for us. And they learned there at the foot of the altar, at the foot of the cross, you know, how to imitate our Lord and how to entrust themselves completely to him. And they learned it from Our Lady. Our Lady became queen at the foot of the cross. She gave herself completely to the work of her Son. And through that offering, we all learn how to offer ourselves. And in a particular way, this is important for men because they need to learn to be responsible for their families and to give their life for their families, do the honorable thing, you know, to stand up and be counted when the chips are down, which is what St. John did. They were called to defend and honor the things that are true, good, and beautiful, and we're called to overcome the obstacles that stand in our way to do that. Our Lord did it, of course. Our Lady did it. She is the strong woman who, beyond anyone else, is there and in solidarity with our Lord. And St. John did it because he was there with Our Lady. So as men, we should be willing to honor our Blessed Mother, to recognize her as queen, as the one who represents everything that Christ, and everyone that Christ died for, and everything that is true, good, and beautiful. And we should be willing not only to allow her to be our mother and seek her maternal protection, but we should honor her as our queen, and we should defend her honor. We defend her honor by defending the rights of the Church. We defend our honor by not being afraid to have devotion to her, and defending her honor in terms of apologetics and what we believe about her. And we defend her honor by doing the right thing in our families, by respecting women, by teaching our daughters modesty, by expecting our sons to be respectful of women and to be honorable men in general. It's extraordinarily important that we do these things, and it's time for us as men to stand up and be counted. Today, in the first reading, we hear about the book of Judith and how the priests and elders of the of Jerusalem came and praised Judith because of her victory over the enemies of Israel. You are the glory of Jerusalem, the surpassing joy of Israel. You are the splendid boast of our people. These words were quoted in that hymn that we used for the Psalter this morning. And they're in a particular way attributed or applied to Our Lady, because Judith is a type of the Blessed Mother. And if you've never read the book of Judith, I urge you to do it. It's not a very long book, but it's a great book. It's kind of a Joan of Arc story. Because what happens in the book of Judith is that the people of Jerusalem are under siege, and those who are governing the city, the men, the elders, are ready to give up, ready to surrender. And when Judith, this widow, this beautiful and chaste widow, finds out that they're ready to surrender, she comes and she rebukes them. And basically says, how dare you turn the city over to our enemies when you haven't done your part. You haven't trusted God. She said, declare a fast and pray, and let's do whatever we can to change our own lives, and maybe God will intervene. And after the end of their fast, they still weren't delivered, so she said, do it again. You know, and they were, in the end, there was no relief, and so they were set upon surrendering the city, and she said, you know, just let me take care of it. And she left the city at night with one of her maids and went down into the camp of the enemy, to the enemy general, Holofernes, and presented herself there, and she was beautiful, so he wined and dined her, thinking that, you know, he would get lucky. And she got him drunk, and he fell asleep. And then she took his own sword and cut off his head, and put his head in her purse, and carried his head back to the city, and then displayed it for all to see. And meanwhile, when dawn came and the enemy camp woke up and found their general with his head chopped off and his head missing, they all scattered and fled, and they were put to the rout by the Israelites. I think it's funny that a lot of times the feminists nowadays will quote, will refer to Judith as the great icon of modern feminism, but or someone like Joan of Arc, who's a very similar story. You know, that these were women who had thrown off the yoke of their oppression and all this kind of stuff. But these women were not eager to do what they did. The reason they did what they did is because the men weren't doing their job. And God, in a very miraculous way, raised them up to be a sign of his divine power, that if we just humble ourselves and pray, if we're faithful to our duty, if we put God first, then God will take care of us. You know, there was another story from the Old Testament. I believe it's Barak is called by Deborah to go and fight off the enemy, and he says, "I'll go if you go." She was told by God to tell him to go, and he says, "I'm not going to go unless you go with me." She says, "Okay, I'll go, but because of this, you know, God will deliver your enemy over the hand of a woman." And that's what happened. The general of the opposing army, Sisera, ended up escaping from the Israelites' hands, and he wandered into the camp of a stranger, and he ended up, you know, at the tent of Jael, and he asked for refuge, and she gave him refuge, and he asked for something to drink, and she gave him warm milk, and put him to sleep under a rug, and while he was asleep, she drove a tent peg through his head. And then when Barak came looking for Sisera, she says, "I'll show you where he is. I have him here." But these stories, and Joan of Arc as well, are stories about how God raised up women to do a man's job because the men weren't doing it. So it's time for us, you know, to stand up and do what is right, to defend the rights of the church, to be spiritual leaders, to lead our families in prayer, to make decisions about the welfare of our families, including, you know, your wives, and to stand by your decisions and do what is right for the good of your family and for the good of the church. You know, some people may ridicule you for that, saying it's not right, and it's too old-fashioned, but God will honor you, and your wives will honor you for doing what is right. But if we sometimes have a difficulty in doing these things, we should turn to the Blessed Mother, who is our Queen, and who represents everything that we should be willing to live and to die for, just as Christ lived and died to ransom his bride, the Church, from captivity. So also we are called to live and to die in order to ransom our families from everything that is opposed to their eternal salvation. Our Lady of Ransom, pray for us.